everybody. Welcome to episode 23 of Breaking In. Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year's.
Do you have any New Year's resolutions?
Yes, to shed old life and start anew.
Isn't that what everybody does every year,
though?
Yeah,
but it's going to be literally for me.
I need literally. Mine is the standard. I need to shed weight.
Yeah.
That's all I need to shed.
I have none of those standards. Yeah, quit smoking, blah, 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 whatever. No, mine is to start. All right, yes, I know I should. I do want to.
But I don't think you should make smoking a New Year's resolution.
It's
I think
not,
that should be a life choice.
Of course. It always is.
Right.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do today is we're going to, for this week's show, I guess we're going to look back on 2012 on all of the things that we liked, didn't like. I know you didn't really get a chance to do most of the topics that we came up with, so you're going to
yes,
kind of...
but I have opinions about everything, so yes. It's not like that's an issue.
So we got a lot to go through.
And looking into 2013.
Right.
What's coming up.
So we got a lot of lists to go over. So let's start with top five TV moments. You did not get a chance to do this. So is there anything for you that kind of stands out of TV-wise that kind of sort of stands out for you?
Well, I think I watched a lot of different shows than you did.
Only because we
had gone through so much TV.
I can honestly say that this was the hardest one for me,
mm-hmm.
only because it was hard for me to rank them. Like Parenthood, I swear to God, that show makes me cry on a weekly basis, and there's so many good moments. I know there's great moments from a lot of the sitcoms we watch, like New Girl and Modern Family, but I couldn't think of one specific thing that was like, oh, wow.
Here's a moment I can pull out for you, but it's from an HBO series. Does that count?
Maybe yeah, of course, as long as it came out in 2012.
Boardwalk Empire.
Okay, see, I don't watch that show. That's right.
Okay, so...
I have a Dexter one that I know you haven't seen.
Cool. So, huge Italian dude, which he literally... He played a gay guy on Will and Grace.
Mm-hmm.
And he at the same time, plays cops all the time because he's like 6'4".
Right.
And I can't... His name is escaping me right now. But anyway, he's a complete psycho mafia... mid-level boss.
Okay.
And he's very deranged in the bed.
Okay.
So there was a scene coming on of him shoot to. He's completely naked, hooker behind him completely naked. She's got a belt around his neck, wrangling him back, and he's saying pull harder.
So
she's saying go like, he's jerking off.
He's a badass, but he's submissive at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. He's trying to ask her to kill him, but he'll turn around and kick her ass in a second. But and in the middle of this, somebody breaks in to shoot up everybody. So he literally gets out of bed, has his belt hanging around his neck, walking through the house naked with a gun,
mm-hmm.
trying to take out and survive
the assailants.
Yeah, it just an insane scene of wow. Number one, you were already shocked in the first place.
And actually, that's funny. I remember you actually telling me about
yes,
that when that happened
because it was so like holy fucking crap. That was a good scene.
Okay, so for me, here are my nearly missed the ones that I really dig. Joe Biden on Parks and Rec. That was hysterical.
It was. That was awesome.
Here's one that you don't watch, but Lane commits suicide on Mad Men. That was huge.
Okay.
Dexter does the chick from Chuck. basically, you're a couple of seasons behind, but I know you used to watch Dexter, and you will eventually catch up.
Yeah, I will.
But there was a really hot chick from Chuck who is now guest starring on this season, and he gets her, she's a very bad person, and he gets her on his table.
Oh no, yeah, ready to take her out.
And is literally about to stab her, and then cuts her loose, and then they have this passionate, fucked up sex scene. And you see some side boob and shit like that, so I was happy. Justified, Raylan cuts off an arm. Remember at the end of Justified, the season finale, where Neil McDonough, they were in the house, and he gets his arm chopped off?
Yes.
That was, nobody saw that coming. No, I mean, we knew shit was going to go down.
Seriously, guy standing on bomb. There was a whole bunch of scenes in that.
And then one of my favorite, and there's so many favorites from this show, but I think this season specifically is David Lynch coaching Louie on how to be a late night talk show host.
Seriously.
With all of his 80s presidential references. Yes.
It just goes to say, and then drums in your head, this fucking business is insane. You have to learn to deal with this shit. And be serious about it.
You're not ready for the good jokes.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Okay, so that's the nearly miss. My top five TV moments. My number five is was the half season ending of Breaking Bad, where the brother-in-law figures it out. He's, remember the very last scene, he's sitting on the shitter?
Yes.
And it hits him. So I can't wait for the last 8 episodes of Breaking Bad.
Yeah, he's dead.
Oh, well, I don't know. Maybe. Mm. My number 4 is Liz Lemon gets married on 30 Rock, dressed as Princess Leia, because that's the only white dress she has.
Which is so apropos.
This is kind of a cheat, but I took Lori Gives Birth and Michonne showing up on The Walking Dead. Technically, Michonne showing up was the end of second season, but technically that was the beginning of 2012. So that counts. So Michonne showing up at the very end to rescue, I always forget her name.
Audrey? Andrea.
Andrea. And then, of course, Lori giving birth. Well, she doesn't really give birth per se, but
birth is taken.
there's a baby born.
Yeah.
My number 2 was Barney's proposal from How I Met Your Mother. Did you watch the season finale where he proposed to Robin, which we knew was going to happen, but he basically showed that the entire season was his complete manipulation?
I did not see that. Holy shit.
Yes, it's great. It's fantastic.
You must have watched it on Hulu, so I thought I already saw it.
No, because How I Met Your Mother is not on Hulu.
Yeah. Then it's just in the record.
Oh, you got to see it then.
Okay.
But the last
thing they were insinuating was he was going to propose to April.
Not April. Patrice.
Patrice.
Which is funny because we'll talk about it off air, but I know why you actually made that comment. That's a subliminal slip, and you and I are going to talk about that one.
Yes, I'm seeing that right now as we speak.
Anyway, so spoiler, here's the downside. The upside for How I Met Your Mother is, I mean, and you've said this because I'm the one that sort of got you into that show.
Yeah.
Because you'd seen it sporadically, but you hadn't seen it religiously. So we sat down and watched like all 9 seasons.
Yeah.
And the best compliment you can say about that show is, what do you say about that show?
I wish it would go. I want to know who the mother, but I would love the show to go on forever.
That is not your biggest compliment. Your biggest compliment that you give the show, that you say to everyone when you talk about the show, is it's like sitting around with your friends.
Oh, yes.
Right.
One of those movies that you just want to keep going.
So
let's keep going.
The downside to that is you can totally see it coming. That everything he's been doing was manipulating.
Yes.
So when they get to that reveal and they show the montage of everything he's been doing, it's like, oh, yeah, I knew that. Duh.
Really? Barney and Patrice? Come on. Did anybody see that actually happening?
Right.
I don't think
so. He was playing something.
Yeah, seriously.
But anyway, so, well, that's on the list. We got to make sure we see that.
Yeah.
And then my number 1 is actually mildly surprising, only because it is the most current TV moment that you and I have watched. And I'm a little behind, but Homeland, the season finale of Homeland, and spoiler alert, people, if you haven't seen Homeland, the CIA building gets blown up at the memorial, and it's his car, and they're framed. Because you and I, we literally, the past week, since last week's show, we watched the
two seasons.
Don't
you feel like we're
kind
of almost cheating coming in now? Because all the people who have watched it religiously all this time.
Well, no,
and now we're coming in on the back end and we're like, yeah, we watched them all yesterday. And here's my comment.
No, because technically, and I looked it up, this episode that I'm referring to, just aired December 16th.
Oh, so we're current. As of now. Yes.
As of now.
Actually, I find a lot of it... We guess a lot of it as we're going through.
Oh, agreed.
We're totally like, oh, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I mean, even in the first season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't like that. I like it better when I go, yeah, I didn't see that coming.
Right. Agreed.
Yeah. But
it's still great
entertainment.
They still
played out. Great. Yeah.
But, okay. And part of the reason why I picked this moment specifically, one, because it was a great moment, but I do remember that as you and I were sitting there around season 2, episode 11, being like, okay, how are they going to keep this going?
Yeah, how long can he be considered a terrorist? So pretty much, here's the thing. When he did not blow up those people, mm-hmm. I was done with him being a terrorist. I knew he did that last act.
Right.
Which is what I said he should have done in the first place. Just kill that one guy, the vice mm-hmm. president. Mm-hmm. So he did that last act. And you knew he was not a terrorist from that moment on. Mm-hmm. It was done. So her literally getting up after the bomb going... on your knees. It's like, really?
Right.
Really?
Right.
So it started getting very predictable after that.
And so this is a great segue into a category that we had to abandon because we couldn't really think of a lot, but a special one-off only best excuse. What was it?
Cheat.
Writer best cheats. Best writer cheats ever. And I question, for those of you who have watched Homeland the regular way, meaning every week.
Yeah, do you guys see this?
You probably don't see this, but for us who literally watched 24 episodes in 2 days, they use Brody's daughter as a cheat. And I shit you not, Brody's daughter literally shows up. I mean, he's digging a hole in the backyard at 3 o'clock in the morning, and the daughter just pops up and is like, what are you doing? Oh, well, I'm doing this and this and
boom,
this.
Boom, and here's how you explain about the Quran and what you have to do. Okay, good.
And then cut to, I'm about to go blow up some people. Knock, knock, knock. The whole family's supposed to be gone, but the daughter's there. Hey, what are you doing? Oh, I'm not doing anything.
No, don't do it, Dad. Don't do it.
It was literally like any time the writers needed something explained or whatever,
her daughter shows up telling him to stop. Don't set off the bomb.
Or, yeah,
how is that gonna happen?
Use the daughter. Just the daughter shows up all the time.
I will say, I tried to think of a better way out of that. Did you?
I couldn't.
No, nothing came up.
But I mean,
That wouldn't have added a half hour onto the show.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, they never throw the son in. They never really throw the wife in. It's just that daughter is just...
Oh, she's been begging for the truth forever?
Yeah. Well, the wife.
Yeah.
Right.
But you know, once she found out, he's Muslim.
Right.
Which, again, and slam the door.
Which, again, the daughter finds out first.
Sure. And she's okay with it.
because he's praying at 4 a.m.
Right.
And she just shows up.
Of course she does.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
This kid never sleeps.
We couldn't think of any. There are a million of those because I remember saying to Manny, oh wow, way to take
cheat your way out of that.
Yeah, seriously, dude, that was a copy.
My only other one, which is a show that I don't think a lot of people watch, but we watch, is it's not really a cheat per se, but the episode of Suburgatory where she talks about her tablet.
Yes.
And like literally turns into a commercial for the new Microsoft
Surface.
Might as
well be. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
You know what? And if it had been an iPad, you know, I would have been like, fuckers, Hitler. the fact that it's Windows, I was like, it's adorable.
Yeah. No, that's not actually what you said after that episode, by the way. All right. So moving on to our top 5 disappointments of the year.
Of which I have many, which was very disappointing.
I know. I actually
looking through the list and going, wow.
I actually have a lot too, and there's a few big names on here. So my the ones that sort of nearly missed my top 5.
How? Why are we doing nearly missed? Why don't we just do top five since we have 14 of the top five?
No, wait.
Just do top five. Why are you doing nearly missed?
Because they nearly missed the top five. Rounding out like the top 10.
So what we're actually doing is 15.
No.
Your five, my five, and your nearly missed five.
Yes, that's what we're doing.
15.
Yes. So
that was not the plan, people. I'm just saying.
I came out and told you that I was doing nearly missed. So my nearly missed list, Skyfall was disappointing. Paranormal 4.
How is that nearly missed? No, that's just disappointing. That's on the top five.
Not for me.
James Bond, really?
I have five more.
So there's way more, five more people more important than the James Bond movie.
They're not people. Disappointment movies. There are five movies. Yes, there are five movies.
Mattered more to you. Okay, yes. I gotcha.
So Skyfall, Paranormal 4 was disappointing. Taken 2 was disappointing because did you read the script?
Completely disappointing. Yes.
Both read the script and that was hugely disappointing. And The Watch. I was really looking forward to that movie, and which Ben Stiller, Vince Vaughn, Watch.
Yeah.
That was a disaster. Okay, so top five. My number five was Alex Cross. That was just a fucking train wreck of a bastardization.
It is for me, and I didn't even see the movie.
Yes, you did. We just watched it.
Yes, right. Before that, it was a disappointment.
Yeah.
Before I saw the trailer,
that I had high hopes for Tyler Perry, but they just fucked up that storyline. Never mind the fact that he's a DC cop in the books and the Morgan Freeman movies, and now all of a sudden he's a Detroit cop. And then me.
Because it's cheaper to film there.
Right. No, I understand that. Yeah. And then me being from Detroit. Like
Not even paying respect to Detroit.
Yeah, none of that shit is exactly how that stuff goes down. So they were abusing the layout of the city left and right.
Based on Tom Cruise being in it. You get to make that much of a stretch away from...
What does Tom Cruise have to do with Alex Cross?
Well, okay. No. Jack Reacher...
That's
so in the same vein. It's the same exact thing. You're counting on... one person carry everything for you.
You're going
to
be horribly disappointed.
And you're
going
to fuck over all the people who read the books.
You're going to be horribly disappointed by those comments, by the way, as we move through our lives.
Oh, I'm sure. Yes. Okay.
So Alex Cross was my number five.
Okay. One for the money.
I am a big fan of the books.
Again, same vein.
I didn't have a problem with the movie, but then again, it wasn't great.
No, but the books are great. And that's why I felt like, wow, you could have done... there's so many funny spots you could have put in and they totally missed.
They missed it.
Yep.
My number four is Abe Lincoln, Vampire Hunter. Now, this is... It was a disappointing movie only because, once again, you and I read the script and the script created such... I thought the script was so more visually appealing than what they actually put on screen.
We also said, as reading the script, I'm not sure how they're going to do this.
And they did not do it well.
No.
Which is sad, because he is a very visual director.
Yeah.
You're number four.
Underworld. I'm a huge fan of Underworld.
It's so disappointing that I don't even remember what...
January.
Which one was the...
Awakening.
What's the details
and
of that
I
one?
Remember I IMDb'd it and I went, wow, fucking shit, I don't even remember most of that.
I don't remember,
but I remember being very upset seeing it because
in the same vein Resident Evil was
one of the you know, you're looking for a Freddy.
Freddy
versus Jason. Yeah. Come on. I don't know what to expect.
My number three was Prometheus. The Aliens prequel, I just did not live up to that.
I concur.
And in fact, we just watched Alien a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And I mean, just that movie is so nerve-wracking.
Gritty.
Gritty.
Very gritty.
And... yes, I will give them the fact that Prometheus looked slick, but yeah. And just story.
I'm not sure what could have changed that to make it.
I don't know.
I didn't read the script, so I don't know what was originally intended.
It didn't do it for me.
No.
You're number three.
Safe House, and it's for a very weird reason because I love the movie.
Okay,
best death scene ever.
Yeah,
but to build like half a movie really good, and then the other half lacking. What's his face was fine in it. Fine in it, not stellar. Okay. Not. The vampire movie.
Which vampire movie? Twilight?
No. Black. Please. Are you fucking kidding me? Come on.
Which?
Black Eye. Tax Problems.
Blackula?
No. Short, Black Eye, Tax Problems. Was a vampire, but was able to go out during the day because.
Blade.
Thank you.
Tax Problems. Wow. Okay. I was thinking about Brewster's
Manny's
Millions.
Manny's usually able to do this for me very easily. Usually within, we've timed it 10 seconds. 10 seconds with my obscure references.
How your mind works sometimes.
Yeah, I know. It's so funny.
Tax Problems.
But he's able to.
I was
to
like,
guess
what
it.
Vampire had tax problems?
But now you see the connection.
Yes, I do. All right. Yes, totally. Anyway, what did Blade have to do with Safe House? Tie that one back together.
The character in one of the last Blade movies, played by
Ryan Reynolds.
Right.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
It was a stellar character.
Yeah, agreed.
A total
agreed.
Standout character.
Agreed. You don't think Ryan Reynolds kind of stood out in this?
Nope.
Okay.
No, he could have way done that kind of kick-ass a little bit. You know what? Who knows? He was directed that way. I don't know.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so my number two was Chernobyl Diaries.
Oh, my God. Yes. That was
we
so
advertised.
We were
so looking forward to that
movie. I
was
psyched. Very psyched about
we
that.
We were very psyched about it. And then we watched
we
it.
We got to rewrite that.
I
should rewrite that. That's,
sadly, I fell asleep for a certain portion.
So sad.
And then we get to the end, and the ending was so fucking horrible that I can't even recommend anybody see that movie.
No, I wanted to rewrite it, though.
It's not even...
As soon as... Because you could see so many great ideas talking about Chernobyl.
Yes. To have that kind of... The setting itself was spooky enough,
mm-hmm.
and they did nothing with it.
No.
So yeah, that was my number two.
They turned it into Freddy versus Jason, kind of. It was like a joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, you're number two. This is why we number things, Cheryl.
Now, I want to say almost every scary movie that came out this year. And I want to say, and I don't know if it's just because I have a short memory.
Okay.
But just watching...
The Possession. We watched
was
Possession
a great
last night.
Boo movie. That was a good... That's what you're... Well, that's what I'm looking for in a scary movie. Like, there's a lot of...
And we also know the story.
Yes, we knew the whole storyline. That's what's interesting.
Going back
we
to
knew
best,
everything that was going to happen.
Going back to best TV moments, Paranormal Witness... just kind of blew it out of the water.
Oh,
this year.
Totally. It did.
And so they did an episode about the Dybbuk box, which is what The Possession is based on.
Which was way more scary than any movie that came out about the Dybbuk box.
Right.
But,
yeah, the actual story is more fucked up than the Hollywood version.
Yeah, it is.
So you were just disappointed with all the scary movies this year?
Almost all the scary movies. They had their moments.
They had their moments.
There was hardly any that
Paranormal
you just
Paranormal was
went,
a huge letdown.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
No,
Insidious was good.
Yes. Yeah, actually, it was. That would be one that I would watch again.
God, there, you ended up watching that's, it like four times a week.
That's what I'm saying. The rewatchability is what's good for a scary movie. If I can want to rewatch it and get scared again.
Cool. So my number one, which is going to cause hate mail. Like, and I can see it now. My number one disappointment for the year was The Hobbit. Did not live up. I was a huge fan of the Lord of the Ring movies.
I am a huge fan of Lord of the Ring, period. And
The Hobbit, and the fact that it took us 2 days to get through the movie.
I know, that's...
I was looking forward to it.
We can watch two seasons of something.
I was excited about that.
I have done marathons of those movies.
I did the marathon of the movies before we watched The Hobbit. Which might have been part of the reason why that was such a letdown.
maybe. Because that was so easy. Mm-hmm. That's literally like living in another time. Mm-hmm. And that's what you feel like is going on. And that one was just like, we're walking and we're walking and we're walking and we're walking. It was just torturous that way.
Yeah. So that was my biggest disappointment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So before you say your number one, were those five more disappointing than James Bond? Or is your number one James Bond?
I would definitely put James Bond in my top five. Absolutely, John. God. Here's the funniest comment about that whole thing. Mm-hmm. When I said, oh, they have gadgets again because they brought back Q.
We knew in the trailer that they brought back Q.
And they showed a gadget.
And they gave him a gun.
And then to find out that's it.
Yeah. And a radio. A walkie-talkie.
That's
a radio.
GPS
and a gun.
James Bond is my go-to movie for gadgets, and that can happen. That they have those already. Yes, you can do that, and it's amazing. But they do it, and it's so disappointing.
Agreed.
I was sad face.
sad faces all around. Okay. So moving on to the next category, top five surprises. Movies that we didn't really have high hopes for, or didn't really expect to kind of get into. And we ended up really digging them. My nearly missed Looper, Magic Mike. And then this is kind of a tie, but Seeking a Friend for the End of the Universe and Safety Not Guaranteed. Going in with no expectations for any of those movies. I mean, with the exception of Magic Mike, there's a ton of expectations for male nudity.
And it delivered.
And it delivered, so. But it delivered a great story, too.
Well, yes.
So my number five was Hope Springs. I did not expect to like the old people sex movie, and that was a.
I am gonna.
That was a good watch.
On that. Very charming.
Did you do this list? Do you have a top five surprises?
I do not.
Okay. My number four, which I know you'll concur with this one too, was Safe, the Jason Statham movie. I kind of expected just to be Jason Statham movie, which it was, mm-hmm. But Safe somehow delivered things that we had never seen before in an action movie. It ended up being really like, oh, I'm going to put my iPad down and actually pay attention to this.
Mm-hmm. Which is so hard to do.
Oh my God. I know. For both of us. I mean, most of the time when we're watching movies,
you've seen everything.
You're on
already,
your phone.
So.
I'm on my iPad.
Yeah.
We're fucking
when
around.
We rewind,
yeah,
you go,
right.
Wait a minute, what was
did
that?
Say? Yeah. My number three, and again, I had no expectation for this movie, and a lot of people told me that it was going to be amazing, but nobody ever told me why. My number three was The Cabin in the Woods. The fact that it was, I thought it was kind of just a cheesy, shitty teen horror movie, but then it turned out to be every horror movie ever imaginable rolled into this weird, fucked up society, ancient culture, gods thing, end of the world. It was wow.
Everything.
Wow.
All in
it was
one.
Just a wow.
A big Tootsie Roll.
My number two was actually Casa de Mi Padre, the Will Ferrell Spanish movie. I didn't know what to expect going in. I didn't expect it to be such a parody. I thought it was just him being funny in Spanish. But the fact that they actually had
I was thinking of Jack Black, actually.
The horses being pulled, like the mm-hmm, paper mache mm-hmm. horses and the cheesy background and the claymation and stuff like that. And my number one, which is going to be the first of your biggest disappointments of the year, Jack Reacher. I did not expect to like that movie as much as I did. And I mean, for a movie to get me into a book series and going back and regard, I know you haven't seen the movie yet, and I know there's a lot of debate out there, but reading the first book and then comparing that to the movie, I think Tom Cruise did a fantastic job. I think they did a fantastic job with the movie. So that's my number one surprises. Yes, I know. Yeah, Sam.
Okay. Once again, I'm going to go with a category as opposed to one specific.
Okay.
I liked most of the military reality type, most of the military movies that came out, which is...
There was a lot.
Act of Valor. Which is why I want to say, let's just lump them all together.
Yeah.
I like that. So that just could be me, but I like that genre.
Right.
And I thought a lot of them were made very well.
Yeah, there was a lot of good action movies this year compared to.
Yeah, but I mean, for me, it's a little bit insight into another world of, we don't live there. It's not the same in our life. Actually, we don't go to work and that's what occurs. So
actually, a better way to put it is that the action movies, the military movies that were released this year were so uber realistic that it gave you a very good insight to how things work. And we're equally fascinated about kicking open a door and clearing a room and checking your corners and how a team does that and so well. A well-oiled machine.
And we both play video games that...
Yes.
That's the kind of thing you do.
Right. And having, team, having Act of Valor at the beginning of the year and then Zero Dark Thirty at the end of the year and watching that last sequence when they're going into Bin Laden's compound, it's like, you know, they're doing the shoulder squeeze, they're doing the tap, they're doing the double talking. Eye look.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's talking to everybody and nobody's saying anything.
Very competent.
Yes, exactly. Anything else on surprises? Was there anything that you sort of were like, wow, I didn't expect that to be good?
No.
Off the top of your head?
No, nothing jumps to mind.
Okay, moving to top five performances. Were you able to get through this?
Why do you feel the need to say that?
Okay. My nearly missed was Tommy Lee Jones. It's a tie. A lot of these are actually ties, sadly. But Tommy Lee Jones and Meryl Streep for Hope Springs. When you got two actors who are sitting there.
Okay, category is the...
Top five performances of the year.
Okay.
So the fact that they were... did such a great job of being awkward talking about blowjobs.
Yeah, but he was the same character as she played, very docile. She played the character that she played on that web series with...
Web Therapy.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. That's kind of... Which was different for her.
Right.
So...
Demure.
But his character was exactly the same.
But he felt... There was an awkwardness to his performance.
There's language. An awkwardness when he's to be tender with...
No. There is no awkwardness when he's walking in on a scene and he's talking about, what was your thing from last week? The 5-yard radius and that's not a thing.
No. But when he gets in a touching moment with Will Smith and there's that whole awkwardness of, I love you, but I'm a man and I can't show it. When he does that, he does that very well. That's what he's doing.
I'm a man.
I can't show it.
That is actually another, it's not on my list, but that's another nearly missed. Josh Brolin in Men in Black 3 as the young Tommy Lee Jones.
He's so good.
He nailed it.
He was so good.
One other person who nearly missed my top five, Matthew McConaughey in Magic Mike. His performance was so... Just that scene in the mirror.
So Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, but yes. On stage, yes. But when he's teaching him how to dance and there are moments there where it's so fun to watch.
He's been a lot of fun, actually. The surprise pop-ins on,
Eastbound and Down. Yes. Oh, my God, yeah.
Those kind of shit. He Loves that shit.
Okay, so my top five performances. Ready to prepare yourself to be disappointed. Number five, Tom Cruise and Jack Reacher. He was just good. I just dug him that much. So, you want to slam me, or you just want to silently let that one go? I think it's pretty apparent that you're not a Tom Cruise fan on this show, and it's come up multiple times.
Yes, that's a hit, people. I just took a hit.
Moving on. Number four, cheating once again, a tie, Hugh Jackman and Anne Hathaway in Les Mis. I thought both of them did a fantastic job.
See, again, cheating because we just saw that recently.
Yeah, but they were great performances.
What about Devil Inside? What did you think of that movie?
It has nothing to do with performances.
Yes, it does. There were a bunch of great scenes in that.
Not anything that movie was disappointing to me.
This Means War.
As performances?
Yes. That was a horrible one. That was my disappointing one too.
Wrath of the Titans.
Yes, because I love that. I love that too.
Don't go backwards, woman. Okay, so Hugh Jackman and Anne Hathaway, Les Mis. I thought they did fantastic. Denzel in Flight is my number three.
That was a stupid story for me.
I know you're on record as not really being a big fan of Flight.
No, yeah, I love Denzel though.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah.
And my number two, which was really hard to choose which one to pick from this movie, but I think the clear front runner out of all of the fantastic actors, Christoph Waltz in Django. I think he was by far the best actor in that. And, you know, giving...
What about the James Bond villain?
Ooh, that's actually a really good one. I didn't think of that.
That was the only other redeeming factor for that movie.
Yes, Javier Bardem. He's going to have to be a nearly missed. I thought... He was great.
He's on my top five then. Ha ha, because I got room.
Yes. Yes. So you're number two. So yes, Christoph Waltz in Django. I think he was the best performance out of that movie. Jamie Foxx was great. Mm-hmm. Leonardo was great. Everyone was great. But he kind of stood out as a clear...
The girl.
Kerry Washington. Yeah.
She did amazing.
Yes.
Amazing job.
And my number one, which is, again, a cheat because it's a duo, but Jennifer Lawrence and Bradley Cooper in Silver Linings.
And I was... Oh, that is so funny that you say that because I want to do another category of just her.
Jennifer Lawrence performances. Top five Jennifer Lawrence performances.
Hunger Games.
Hunger
you know
Games,
what?
Silver Linings, House at the End of the Street. And I'm sure she's probably been in two other movies this year.
And they were all, she did great.
Yeah, she did great.
So that's the category rather than just that movie. Okay?
Gotcha.
All right.
Okay, so top five movies of the year. My Nearly Missed, Safe House, Act of Valor, and Think Like a Man. All of which were great movies, but not the best. My number five, and probably I guess it's technically only the only comedy on the list, Ted. Ted was fantastic.
Wanderlust.
Really?
Yes, I liked that movie, and I liked, she's so close to breaking out of her normal persona.
I know, she did a really good job of not...
She was so trying to not be her normal. You could still see glimpses of it. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But that movie was crazy funny. Just insanely funny. And you imagine yourself attempting to do that. While you're watching that movie, you're saying, could I? I don't know. Wait a minute. Yeah, it's kind of peaceful, but no doors. So, no.
Wonder liked
was
it. A great movie. My number four, and once again, be prepared to be disappointed, was Jack Reacher. I just really dig that movie. So we'll just gloss over that one. Do you have a number four? No.
Well, actually, this could come. This could be my number five too. Again, 21 Jump Street. I did like that movie.
21 Jump Street was good, and I dug it. But I had read the script, and for whatever reason, the jokes in the script were so much better, and I don't know why they got cut. Like, the overall plot is the same, but some of the jokes were just, I don't know why, maybe they on set or some other writer got in there, and I don't know what happened, but the script was funnier than the movie. Yeah. My number three is Silver Linings Playbook, which I'm sure that's probably your number one.
But
I just really dug that movie. My number two, Flight. I know you're not a big fan of the movie, but I don't know. I just...
So on my disappointment list, you're top five.
Well, I don't know. I don't think you'll... Your number one is clearly Silver Linings.
Yes.
My number one is actually The Avengers. The nerd in me seeing all of those superheroes together. It was a huge event. Notice that Dark Knight Rises doesn't appear anywhere on this. And I'm a way more Batman fan than I am the Marvel sort of universe of the Avengers. But The Avengers was just a badass movie. There was no disappointments. It was big. You got to see all those characters. And I mean, it really is an ensemble movie. You're talking about Chris Hemsworth and Robert Downey Jr. and
you didn't think there were any slow parts or any parts they could have done bigger?
No.
As far as... No?
Nope. Nope. And that is a movie that I can put on all the time and just watch.
Oh, I totally would too.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I guess that's our best of the year, sort of. Let's move into, so anticipated, what are you looking forward to in the new year? There's a lot of sequels coming out this year that, for a lot of movies. There's three movies on my list that are not sequels. My number five is Lone Ranger. I was a big fan of the TV show. It takes me back to my childhood. Very nerdy. Did you ever watch Lone Ranger?
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of
a
boy thing, I guess, really.
No, I watch it. Yeah, totally. It's going to please audiences today. It's going to have to be way more badass, obviously.
Well, and here's
so it better be Django style.
Here's what I'm thinking, which makes me look forward to it. You got Jerry Bruckheimer, you got Gore Verbinski, Johnny Depp. You basically have the team that brought you Pirates. So I can't and the trailer looks badass. So I can't imagine that it's going to be that horrible. I mean, I think it should be a roller coaster.
Well, that's a glowing review. It's not going to be that horrible. I'll go with that. So, no, that's not on my top. That's all I'm saying.
Pacific Rim is also another original. Giant monsters, giant robots battling one another. That's kind of a no-brainer.
Like that? Yeah.
That's totally a no-brainer.
It's a very good Transformers, maybe?
Hopefully. It's like Transformers meets Godzilla. That can't be bad, right?
Yay.
World War Z.
No, that...
Zombie. Is that your number one?
Because we read the script, number one.
Yes.
And that's my ultimate movie.
And the trailer came out, and the trailer does not look like what the script ever was.
I'm going to be very sad.
No, the trailer actually looks better than the script for me.
Okay. I love the script was very, I like a script that explains itself.
Right.
It was very, yes, it was very believable.
And the trailer just makes the movie look fucking huge. It's got to be one of the biggest zombie movies of, well, ever.
They must have that scene of, hey, we're going to look like badasses and kill all these zombies on this bridge. Watch how we shoot them with our missiles.
Right. Yes, which is...
If they do not do that scene, they're idiots.
Right.
That's all I gotta say.
Going into sequels, A Good Day to Die Hard.
Of course.
The trailer looks badass, and I mean, come on.
James Bond. Yes.
Yes.
Die Hard movies, same thing.
And then my number one, for a multitude of reasons, mainly because Shane Black has written it, writing and directing it, but Iron Man 3. The trailer looks dark. Looks like...
It does.
It does not look like an action movie. No. It looks like they really dive into his character big time. So, that's actually my most look forward to movie.
It looks like it has gadgets. The butt.
Yeah, of course.
So, do you think I'm going to like that movie? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Agreed. Is there anything else? I mean, like Anchorman 2, it could be horrible.
Could be good.
We're going to get a Hangover 3 this year. We're going to get a Paranormal 5.
They better have gotten somebody with something new.
I think we're both looking forward to Gangster Squad. We were looking forward to it in November, but because of the Colorado shooting, it got postponed.
Right.
This is the End, which is the next Simon Pegg, Nick Frost movie in vein of Shaun of the Dead. It's their post-apocalyptic version.
Which I'll go see that.
Or it could be next year's list of biggest disappointments. Actually, any of these movies could. We're looking forward to them now. But once we see them, they could be huge disappointments. So, I don't know. Is there anything else you want to go through for 2012?
No, I think we got to plan we're going out and...
We got to figure out what we're doing for New Year's.
Yeah, we're going to go.
It is 8 o'clock Pacific Coast time, so I guess in an hour... It's going to be...
All of our family will be calling saying, Happy New Year! And we're going, yeah, what bar are we going to? I don't know. Yeah.
So it's been a great year. We've written a couple of scripts. We've started this podcast. I can only see things going...
Ups and downs and...
Yes, but looking forward to 2013. The show's only going to get bigger. We're only going to get bigger. Our work is only going to get
physically.
Better.
Physically.
Yes, yes. call back to the opening.
Snap. Thank you, comedy. That's how that works.
Now I'm going to shit on you because...
Absolutely, you do this.
Thank you so much. It's been a wonderful year, and thank you so much for doing this podcast. As stated a couple episodes ago, I can't do it without you. I love sitting around and talking with you every week, and I'm looking forward to another year, a full year of doing this, and looking forward to all the discussions that we can possibly have on air.
Well, obviously, I could not do this without you either, so we're in the same boat, I guess, in that entrapment, so...
Well, that sounds horribly sad.
No, it's we're conjoined twins in the podcast.
Yay.
That's a disturbing picture, actually.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right. Well, on that note, everybody have a great new year. And we will see you next week in 2013, where I'm sure we'll talk about some writing shit.
We'll be completely different, though.
Yes.
Then. New year.
Yep. All right. Happy New Year. Till next week.
Peace out.